What's going on, guys? Welcome to Sunday Night, and welcome to Episode 8 of Season 7 of The Walking Dead After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We had a meeting of the minds, almost like a Captain Planet organization of characters to fight a common enemy at the end of this episode. We're going to bring you through everything that got us there. We'll see you guys in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
There we go. That's that music.
There it is.
That's the classic.
My new favorite thing is after you give the intro, to just stare at you and make you feel super uncomfortable.
Like I did something wrong.
I'm getting really good at it.
Yeah, you're getting great. I was like, oh man, I made a Captain Planet reference. That was stupid. You're stupid. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Sunday Night. Welcome to the last episode of the mid-season of Walking Dead Season 7. We're 8 episodes in, and some craziness is happening now. Things are starting to boil over. Before we get into everything, I want to do our first reactions like we always do, and I'm just going to jump in first and say that even though this season was a bit convoluted, and even though it took a while to get to where we are, the moment that this next half starts, I guarantee the second half's going to be totally awesome. Because it's going to be everything that we've wanted, but because Negan's such an important character, I think they just decided that they needed to take 8 episodes to build everything up to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'd like to do something after we get into the episode where we talk about sort of what would the alternative have been. Because we talk about a lot how we got here and why it took so long. I don't know if there was a better way to do it. You know, maybe this was the best method, but that's sort of how I feel, is that we spent 8 episodes getting here. Mm-hmm. Now the rest of the season is kind of what we wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
Right.
What'd you think?
Goodbye, shit weasel.
Yeah.
Goodbye, shit weasel.
Yeah, he was my guy that I
know. That was it was worth it. And you know, we've talked about this on the spoiler side of stuff, where if you read the comics, you had an inkling that this was coming. And it happened just the freaking way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
So that was fulfilling for me.
Absolutely.
Cool. Suzanne? Yeah, I agree. This is kind of what I was waiting for up until now, 8 episodes in. I was like, oh, it's been a little low, a little depressing so far in the season. But this was the first episode where I felt like it was really hopeful. You know, I see the core group getting back together. And our group looks totally different. I liked at the ending where we saw our new group. So that was kind of refreshing.
I have some feelings about the ending.
Yeah.
I know.
But the shit weasel, that was very satisfying, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Daryl, what do you think?
I thought it was a great season. You know, obviously we start off pretty exciting at the beginning, and I actually really enjoyed tonight's episode. I thought it gave a lot of information that's going to be key for, you know, part 2 in February. So I was pretty happy with tonight's episode.
By the way, I just want to point out, I like that the episode is called Heart Still Beating.
I know, right?
And on the top of her page, it goes, The Walking Dead with an exclamation point, and the bottom of the explanation where is a heart.
Thanks.
So much nicer than I am as a person.
When did television start doing the mid-season finale? Was it this show and Game of Thrones never did a mid-season finale.
No, Game of Thrones is always 10.
Yeah.
I think it was this and Breaking Bad were the first ones.
Were the two that kind of originated it. Now that's very common. You see it on a lot of shows now. Yeah. AMC does it with almost all their shows, actually. Mm. The big ones.
Did we never get that with Lost? Did Lost?
No.
I hated Lost.
Wow.
You go sit over there.
Yeah. You have to get off this panel now, John.
Right. I have the
Where's
bat?
The seal? Give me the seal.
I love Lost. We'll forgive John.
No, it's okay. The internet will let me know I'm wrong.
So speaking of his name being John, great transition. Yep. We're gonna point out
the segues, Ben.
You're welcome.
Damn it.
Yeah, guys, if you want to follow along with the conversation, we're going to do a quick introduction, let you know where you can find everybody. I'm your host. My name's Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to jump to the other side of the table. We got Mr. Daryl Christian, who's also our social media correspondent. He's going to be in the chat talking to you guys.
I know. I'm upset. Like, tonight's going to be the last night until February.
Yeah.
You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, DerrialChriston.
And you guys can find me at Susanna_Kim. It's SusannaH_Kim.
I think he took a bite of popcorn because he thought it was coming to me first.
Right.
I did.
Yeah. And then you hopped on over.
You just totally threw him right under that.
Yeah, yeah.
Us on it's our cool. toes yeah. there. Yeah.
John okay. Carl, the John Carl on all social media. THEJOHNCARLE. And Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. And I actually had some people comment over the past week that they came to Whiskey and Waffles because of the after show. So thank you.
Love it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice transition, John.
Yeah, wasn't it? Yet again, stop pointing out the transitions.
So, guys, if you want to follow along with the conversation, you can find any of us, as well as if you can leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. It's very helpful. We provide free content here at AfterBuzz TV. We always have, and we always will. And if you guys give us a rating or a review on iTunes, it's like everything we need to do it. So it's very helpful if you do that. And the last thing is, we will have a little spoiler section at the end of this that is comic book related. We try to stay away from that during the show, but if we act vague about something during the show, do not feel the need to blast the YouTube comments full of it, because we probably know what's going on. But we will talk about it at the end after giving a quick spoiler alert. So stick around for that if you want. Otherwise, make sure to turn your device off at the end of the episode.
And honestly, feel free to blast in the YouTube comments, because comments help our engagement, and that's a good thing for YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean, like, we didn't forget it, likely.
That's fine. Just keep typing.
Very good. Guys, let's get into the episode. We're going to start out right where we start and right where we end, which is with Maggie, who is taking on sort of a new presidential role within the Hilltop. There's even a moment where she's like, Maggie for president. Somebody told me I should run for president. I think that feels like pretty, like, beat us over the head with Lucille foreshadowing.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even subtle about that.
Not even, like, a little. It was just like, somebody thinks I should be president. Are you already president? It's like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And also, the things that she was concerned about already, like, oh, we need pens for the kids so they can write and read.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And also just ahead. The fact that it starts off with, yo, don't you know she's pregnant? No, everybody knows she's pregnant. You're just kind of screwing over Gregory right now, because you're guilt-tripping him to giving up that apple. Mm.
Yeah, right. That's true.
100%.
Which I'm okay with, because he sucks, but still, it was pretty obvious.
He becomes shit weasel number one now, as opposed to, like, shit weasel one, like, he's one B.
He's our mainstay shit weasel.
Yeah, mainstay. Yeah, so that's where we start. We get a whole interaction with like, Enid, and it looked like there was an apple pie going on, and Sasha, and Maggie's kind of taking control of the Hilltop a little bit. Have you guys noticed this trend that's happened, I think, in the last three seasons now, where the finale, it feels like they invest so much into the show now. It's not like it used to be, where it's like one season of the show feels very self-contained. You're like, oh, I wonder who's watching or how long this is going to go for, if the show will be on the air next season. Like, now it's like such a juggernaut that when they get to the finale, I feel like they've built so much. They have to give us like 13 storylines in every one of these finales.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Every one of them jumps around all over the place. It's all super melodramatic. The scenes are all like so intense and emotional. Do you remember, like, two seasons ago, there's that scene that Gabriel and Sasha are in the church?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like he tries to kill her or something like that, but he doesn't. It's so weird. Anyway, this episode felt a little bit like that to me, where each scene was just like, you have this many minutes of screen time for this character.
Yeah.
So we have to get this much out of it.
Well, I also think, I mean, obviously we know it was 90 minutes, but I think typically we have, throughout the season, have seen either one storyline or the other where they kind of covered everything tonight in the 90 minutes. So.
Yeah, it seems like there's threads all throughout the season, and they try to wrap everything up now in these finales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, the expectation now. You know, we knew it was going to be at 90 minutes. And, like, me, even coming into it, I was so excited. I, you know, had a lot of expectations. I knew it was going to be epic, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
For me, I don't think we needed the Hilltop scenes in this episode. I would have been okay with this just being Rick and Aaron and then the stuff in Alexandria. Hmm. I don't think it added that much by putting in those few minutes of the stuff in Hilltop and then the Carol, Ezekiel, Morgan story. Like, I honestly feel like those could have been left out in this episode.
Right, because in a lot of ways, it's like what they showed us in scenes from next season as far as the rest of the episodes, where it was like all the communities getting together. It's like,
that could have happened in episode 9 after the break.
Exactly. The Morgan scenes and the Hilltop scenes both could have appeared there.
Yep.
So, Comic Girl and also Bodhi, if I'm saying this wrong, Bodil.
Saldenberg.
they both thought the pie was going to be poison that Maggie was eating, or that down the line it will be poison.
Maggie's pie?
Yeah.
Okay. Stay tuned for spoilers afterwards if you guys are interested.
just give it right away right now.
No, I think it's pretty vague. I can't even remember. We'll get there later. Anyway, don't choke on that. It's poisoned.
No, it's hard cider. There's apple cider in here.
So that's pretty much where we start and where we end. We will cover, I think, the ending a little further, but those scenes in the Hilltop, aside from the stuff with Gregory, where he's like, don't let it get to your head, and she's like, don't let it bother you. Feels like it's bothering you. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it was actually.
Her attitude.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's an insecure little twit.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So then we switch back over to Alexandria, where Negan is making pasta and red sauce, and he's having these moments, and like, he's just settling in, and he's just hanging out on the porch.
And the shave.
And the shave. What do you guys, you made a comment.
He... it's weird because Robert Downey Jr. has facial hair, but for some reason, when I see Jeffrey Dean Morgan shaved, it reminded me so much of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like the old school Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It. Yeah, it was pre-Iron Man drug days and such. Yeah.
Right.
Or mid-drug days. I don't remember the timeline, but yeah.
He's going to get to a point, Robert Downey Jr., just like non sequitur, like very soon, where he's just too old to be a superhero anymore. He's not going to, physically, he started so late in the game. Like,
nope.
They made Tony Stark start.
Nope.
You don't think so?
He has a robot suit. He's good.
He was like over 40 when he started.
It's fine.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyway, superheroes are perpetually 29. That's like just what happens.
Dude, Chris Evans is like older than me, and he's fine. He's Captain America.
I think he's still starting 12 to 15 years
Keaton
younger.
Was Batman.
And now he's Birdman, and now he's the Vulture.
Right.
See? Yeah. Boom.
All right. Never mind. Moving on.
Although the Vulture is a geriatric character. But anyway.
Technically. But it's okay. I was with you, John.
Yeah.
I was with
you. So,
Negan. Yeah. I thought Negan looked better before the shave. Okay.
So they're in Alexandria. Olivia can't stop crying. She's just like watching through the window and weeping.
Yeah.
And then she dies later, which was really... Did you guys see that one coming? I saw Spencer coming for sure.
I mean, we definitely saw Spencer.
I think we even called it in our predictions a couple weeks ago about Spencer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see the other one, though.
Not yet. I did only because she had the out with Tara saying, let me take over, and she didn't take the out.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things that we've seen through all these interactions that when somebody makes a mistake, somebody else pays for it. And this was that opportunity to get out of the line of fire, and she didn't take that opportunity to get out.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, this isn't going to end well for her.
But right in that, it was the eye, right?
Like, right below the eye.
Right below the eye. Man, that's tough. That's a tough way to go out.
Yeah. I mean, not to jump ahead too far, but Arat has an amazing shot.
Great shot.
Because she literally, like, I mean, in video games, you call that, like, no-scope 360. Like, she just spun, got her, and was like, okay, cool.
Right. And but then there's Carl right next to her who also had a shot in the eye. And he's okay.
Well, this apparently deadly. This, you could survive.
Yeah, it like went through kind of here. You made a comment that Arat's hair is immaculate.
Yeah,
and
I just got bleach. I was like, oh, wow, where'd you get that done?
I mean, could you, like, you can't just use bleach, like, actual bleach to bleach your hair, can you? Like, is that, or is it, you can?
It's just. I mean, I think you can, you're not supposed to, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe she got a box somewhere, but I just thought it was weird that her hair was bleached.
Yeah.
Maybe that's 2 years of growth happening there. Maybe, I don't know, is what I was thinking. Yeah. But
it's
it's just something I noticed.
Looking.
Yeah, I was like, looks good on her.
Well, it was also interesting when Negan made the comment about that he was surprised that he said that wouldn't have been his choice of who he would have killed. Who do you think that he would have actually shot.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
True.
Oh, I don't think he really cared.
He's just messing with them.
If he cared to kill someone, he would have just killed Rosita, I'm pretty sure.
See, I don't think it was a matter of him saying, this is who I would have liked to have killed, but I think he enjoyed antagonizing Olivia. I think there was a part of that like bully attitude that he enjoyed with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, even after she's dead, the comment he makes is like, oh, that mouth was costing you a lot.
Right.
So I think he enjoyed having her around because she was an easy target.
Right.
And bullies love easy targets.
And he wanted to get her in the sack. He said it to her himself.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He
was 100%.
I mean, he had to have been a little bit bummed.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit bummed. What was going on with his wrist? We looked at each other on this. He had like a wrapping on his wrist. Did we miss this? I feel like I don't remember him getting like a cut or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't.
Tell us in the chat what you guys thought about that. Do you remember how he?
Yeah, it was like his left forearm was all wrapped up, and I looked at Ben and I was like, "Wait, when did that happen?"
He went emo.
He's had his jacket on for a while. We haven't really seen his jacket off, so maybe it's been like that.
Yeah.
But in any case, at the same time this is happening, Spencer is like getting himself psyched up, right? He goes and he meets the guys and he like does the drop and he's like trying to be all like, I'm full of courage. Let me shake your hand.
And that girl kind of made a move on him.
The one girl's like, maybe I'll buy you a sandwich, which I was like,
that works for me every time, you guys.
Best pickup line of the Armageddon.
Yeah. Buy you a sandwich? Like with your points, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. With the points.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing the runs, so she has to probably get extra points.
Yeah, right. She's got the money, the points to buy him a sandwich. So Spencer was like, anytime. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little nervous about it, I think, but he was trying to play along with as best he could.
Yeah, he's a little sissy. So he goes back to the house. He goes back to the house, and he has the moment that, like, unfortunately, this show, I feel like, does this over and over and over again, where, like, a character will go be like, I'm going to go do this thing. Great moment. Other character smiles and is like, yeah. And then, like, later in the episode, that character's dead. Like, I feel like it happens over and over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do that thing. It's, like, that emotional foreshadowing. So I think we all already knew he was going to die. But when he goes to see Rosita and she's like, moment of catharsis. You know, like, I used you. Should we have dinner? Sure. Wink and a smile. You're going to die later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah.
It was just so clear.
I like that she called him a shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But yeah, he walks out carrying the bottle.
Yep.
Like, which I get, because he wanted to give it to Negan. He wanted to, but like, I don't know. It sort of just felt like he was a drunk, like walking around with like a bottle of whiskey, like an open bottle of whiskey. Hmm. That was like the sense I got. If somebody approached me, like hold like one hander on the open bottle of whiskey, I'd be like, this guy's just been drinking all day.
Well, I took it as like the bottle of whiskey obviously was just such a good, like a top shelf brand, and that's probably why they were positioning in that way, because Negan seemed to, you know, his reaction off of it was like, oh wow, this is some good shit, you know.
Right. So. Even though I think it's the same bottle, isn't it? The one that we commented on earlier in the season.
I'm not commenting on the quality of whiskey.
But I was like, that's a nice bottle, and somebody in the chat was like, I think it's this really inexpensive bottle. So I think I was
still
dead
getting wrong. You, yeah.
Anyway, so he makes his way over.
I was just gonna say, I'll keep that in mind when I walk up to you at the Christmas party. Just don't have the bottle swinging in my hand. It's fine.
So he walks up and he's like, you know, Negan, I'm Spencer, right? And he has to kind of psych himself up in the mirror first.
Oh,
I was a little unsure what he was doing actually in the mirror at first. First, I was like, is this a flashback? Because he like his outfit was changed.
Yeah,
and the way they shot it.
I mean, that was just the quick time lapse and stuff like that. Because there was all the chaos, and he was literally like covered in blood from coming back from that run and everything that. And then they just did the shift over, and you noticed the room was way cleaner too.
Yeah, it was.
So that was like, okay, Spencer is getting his stuff together before he's going to go present himself in front of Negan. Because if he shows up in front of Negan, in his mind, he wants to be like really clean and like able to be respected.
Yeah.
Whereas if he showed up covered in blood, it's like, oh, Negan's going to think he's just some stupid grunt.
Well, I was thinking like maybe the time, like maybe the it was a flashback for him to go talk to Rosita the first time or something like that. That was like where my mind was going. But then anyway, he goes to initiate this conversation and he gets into this conversation with Negan. And I think pretty quickly Negan's like, doesn't respect him, right?
No,
right.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, even before he's like, I want you to kill Rick, I think Negan was already just kind of like, you're just kind of soft.
Yeah.
Just kind of can feel you're soft, right? Mm-hmm. And also when he's like, my mom used to run this place.
Yeah.
I can run it because my mom.
Like, I'm my mom's son, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Your mom's
that's
son.
Totally
that's how
genetics
usually
work.
You're not, okay.
And Negan's just like, I don't care about your mom, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of...
that was pretty much the reaction.
I mean, he
should have said that, but yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or like say something like, was your mom hot or something like that? I feel like that's what Negan would have said.
It is a very Negan line. I would agree on that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So anyway, he's like drinking. He's drinking scotch with him, and he's like, let's play some pool. And
Spencer's like, oh yeah, that garage coincidentally right across the street has a pool table.
Has a pool table.
And I like that they took the effort to move the pool table into the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. Not for nothing. That's cool.
Yeah. Block party.
So let me ask the two of you guys, not comic book readers to that point in the comic, that scene is similar. Did you see coming at that moment exactly when he's like, you got no guts? Were you sure it was about to happen, or you weren't? You didn't sense it?
Only because you guys sent so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of sensed it. I figured it was coming.
Maybe only because you
We've
guys
warned you.
I know.
You could go earmuffs on
I'm
stuff
sorry,
if you
sorry, Susie.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah, I figured it was coming. I mean, I kind of, even a couple weeks ago, I predicted that he was going to die, so it wasn't a surprise. I was like, this is perfectly setting this up right now.
I got to say, you know, and now we're spoiler-free because it actually happened on the show, but the second he said, you got no guts, I got super excited.
Yeah.
Because I knew we were going to get him killed the way we wanted to see him get killed, and I was so happy about that.
It's actually one of the few times, though, I have to say, where a panel from the comic is more graphic than they can do it in real life.
Mm-hmm.
The comic book one was, like, so savage-looking, and this one was super graphic, don't get me wrong. This was, like, really intense. Like, this show, I feel like, outdoes itself over and over again.
It's great.
Where it just shows you something where you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they do just such a good job. Like, it looks
visually, it's amazing.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty...
They must have the happiest, like, butchers that are so close to them.
Right?
Because that was definitely from a pig or something.
Oh, it looks
so
good.
I just can't... Yeah, like... Can you guys imagine being like 8 and watching this
show?
Sorry,
I had to.
I mean, I guess it'd be a little much. Possibly.
Yeah, we had
possibly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. My nephew was in here, and he's
watching
he was like,
probably.
Yeah, he loves it.
He loved it. So
I watched Event Horizon when I was like 10 years
old.
So this isn't that
like
far
off. Some of the
off.
Stuff that I watched when I was
scary.
Younger.
It was pretty scary. it just is, okay? Look, if you guys have seen Event Horizon, it's a scary movie. Anyway.
But that was so fulfilling to see it happen, because like as a character all he's done is add drama. And, right. And it was to the point where I think if we kept him along any further than this episode, he was going to be more annoying and not provide anything from a story perspective. Mm-hmm. So if there was a time to take him out and get that yes, but not yes, finally, this was the episode to do it.
Yeah, well, and most people in the chat, Comic Girl to Tanya R, they all are saying that they knew that Spencer was going to go out. Mm-hmm. He was going to bite it, so... Mm-hmm.
I also felt like just the way that he dealt with Rosita in that final scene before going to see Negan was so soft. Yeah. She's like, she's like, you're cute, you're sweet sometimes, I used you. And he's like, cool, want to get dinner?
Just pass.
No strings attached, just dinner. Yeah. It's like, what do you mean no strings attached, just dinner? You've been like such a shit and like such a coward around her for the last... Every time you guys have interacted, she's been like, I'm going to go do this thing. And you're like, I'm going to hide behind the walls. And you guys have been totally at odds. Like, you're not friends.
Right.
What are you talking about? So you're either trying to sleep with her or you're just being like a little weakling who's trying to like weasel your way in because you're a shit weasel.
To be fair, he's a weakling trying to sleep with her.
It's
just weak. The moment that he said to Negan, that's what you need, I was like, it's going down right now.
You do not tell him what to do.
And I kind of liked that Negan didn't like him, you know, that Negan saw straight through that. And I liked Negan for that.
Because as much as he shits on Rick, Negan totally has respect for Rick.
Yep. Yes. Oh, absolutely. And Carl. I mean, and Judith, apparently.
If he didn't have respect for Rick, Carl would have been dead back in the Savior's compound.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't know about you guys, but I really wanted Rick to get back in time to see Negan sitting in his kitchen with his baby with Carl sitting there. I was hoping that that scene was going to happen.
I was hoping for it on the porch.
Yeah, on
the porch. Like how it ended in the last episode.
Yeah, I really was hoping for that. They didn't give us that. But
Rick's like pretty terrified. So moving over to Rick and Aaron and their interaction, we will get to what happens with Aaron when they get back. But starting out, we have them debating getting in this canoe. Actually, it's in a boat to go get a canoe.
Yep, the boat, because the boat had some holes shot in it. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, okay, well, this thing is going to be a little bit of a liability, but if we could get there quick enough, let's do it.
Yeah, one thing I was a little curious about is he's like, it's going to take on water fast. Mm-hmm. This is a lake filled with walkers. And you're getting in a boat that has holes in it that's going to it's going to take on water really fast. Like, that's not something that takes a long time. Mm-hmm. That seems so dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't seem like a logical way of going about things. I don't know.
No, but I mean, I was thinking about it too. Like, why not just try to, like, walk across it? And what we haven't established in this world is what happens if a walker stays underwater long enough? Do they just, you know, become a floater, or do they actually survive, like, trapped in the mud and, like, you don't see what you're walking through, essentially?
Yeah, so, actually, this was the first time that we've ever seen, like, zombies underwater in water in this show. Fear the Walking Dead did it in season 2.
Which doesn't count for me.
Well, it's the same world, though. It is, for the record, it is the same world.
In my mind, it doesn't exist.
I know where John's saying that. So.
Yeah, but it's the same zombies, and they have the same, you know, it takes place in the same
biology and all that stuff, totally.
Same zombies.
Which I thought was interesting that it took them that long. They hadn't done that yet in this show. They did it in that show first, and then they did it in this show.
Right, because the only thing we've seen up to this point in this show was the whale zombie. And he was only half submerged. He was never fully underwater.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't really know. But clearly there wasn't that many walkers underwater because Aaron was able to get out of the boat and swim and get to this, like, raft thing.
The houseboat, yeah.
I guess that's a houseboat?
Yeah, I think it was a houseboat.
House raft thing?
Yeah. Houseboat.
Okay, fair enough.
houseboat, raft? No. We just said, yeah.
Houseboat?
Okay. We're going to fight over this like houseboat. We did the bow and the crossbow last week.
Houseboat, good transition. So, anyway.
I like the development of the relationship between Aaron and Rick.
Because
Aaron was also another character that he could be there, he could not be there. If he died, I was fine with it. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to see him kind of step up, I feel like, as a character, or the development of his storyline was pretty good.
I mean, Rick made me like him. He gave him an out. He's like, you don't have to do this. Like, I'll go. It was my decision to do this, so you could sit back. And he's like, no, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. I was there. And I think that's a really pivotal point for Aaron, is the fact that he was one of the people that was there to watch the Lucille-ing that happened.
So there were a lot of them that weren't.
Yeah, that's true. And I was like, oh, wow, Aaron's the next one. When he was getting beat by all the guys, I was like, oh, is Aaron the next one who's about to be taken out through this? So.
Yeah, and then Aaron says, Rick's like, you don't have to do it. He's like, I would do it. And Rick was like, going this far, risking this much, I wouldn't blame you for not wanting to. That's what he says to him. And one of the things that's the most admirable about Aaron's character, and I think he is a really great character for this show, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he's one of the only gay characters on the show, which is, and it's nice that they give him a lot of depth.
They keep offing all the other ones.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, exactly. It's terrible, but they don't make him like a cardboard character. They don't make him a stereotype, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And he has a lot of depth, and so I like that he was like the runner, the most experienced out in the wild of all the Alexandrians before, that once Rick and those guys came in, he totally like adapted, became a part of like their mentality and like respected all of them. Mm-hmm. And was like, you guys know as much, if not more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in this together. Because there's very much a theme with this episode and this season, which is obviously the point as we're leading up to everybody unifying to fight Negan, that everybody was trying to go about avenging this like persecution on their own, right? Everybody was trying to come at it from their own angle, which is like Carl going at it, or Michonne going at it, Rosita making this bullet. And I think the whole point of this, what we see with the Captain Planet thing at the end and everybody like uniting, is that you know, everybody has to, you know, work together to win. It's all, you know, there's even the conversations that is it Gabriel's having with Rosita, right? And when he's just like,
we have to make the right time for this.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote this down. Yeah, his line is, we need to wait for the right moment or create it together. And you're part of that together. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I mean, I hate to call it heavy-handed, like that identity for the episode, but that's very much what this first half of the season was about. So they were just sort of showing us all the different bits and pieces of that. And Aaron's relationship with Rick is one of those things where he's like, you know, we're equals, man. I got your back. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. I thought that was good.
And Aaron was also a big reason why our group ended up in Alexandria in the first place.
John Guy loves your t-shirt, John.
It's a good one.
Loot Crate subscription. Follow Loot Crate's website, and they actually, like, a few months after a crate goes out, they may sell leftover shirts and stuff, so check there.
Was that the like the big box thing they just put out?
This was just the regular horror crate for the month of October. Nothing special on it.
And you're like, so you subscribe to Loot Crate?
I am an affiliate of Loot Crate. So they send me Loot Crates, and then I wear their stuff and talk nicely about them all the time.
As you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome.
Yep. Good plug.
Great.
Good plug.
Unboxing on Whiskey and Waffles.
So let's continue moving down the line here. We actually, you know what? Before we get on to Carol, we should finish out Rick and Aaron once they get back.
So I want to point out, like, when they were going through the stuff, why didn't Aaron take that piece of paper out? Because that was the same sheet.
Maybe he just forgot.
I don't know. It seems like something that I would be so on edge and walking on eggshells that I would be active about stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's a pretty big oversight, and I definitely don't think he was leaving it intentional of, oh, they'll find it later, F them. But it's also like, that could be really, really misconstrued. Like, you know, go back to earlier in the season where it's the pigs filled with rot, where it's like, oh, we're giving them these because we hope it's going to poison them kind of scenario.
Right.
Like, it could be interpreted as like, oh, all this food I gave you, I messed with it.
Right.
And that was actually what my first reaction was. Is all the stuff they have spoiled or bad in some way?
I thought that, I thought he probably just kept it because it was funny to him. Like, this is, like, amusing. We're leaving this place. We're never coming back to this place. Mm-hmm. So we may as well take this funny note to remind us of it. Because I do have to think that, honestly, even though they live in this horrible world and all these awful things happen, they're still people who want to remember things they go through. And that was, like, a crazy experience the two of those guys had together. So he probably took the note and was like, oh, we'll give this food away, but I'll keep this note because it'll remind me of this.
Right.
Yeah. That's probably I am more surprised kind of with what John said, how he didn't put the note in his pocket or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not in such an obvious place for them to find it, because you just don't know how they're going to react to something like that.
So they get back.
He should have kept the ore that said asshole on it, though.
Right, exactly.
The guys find it, and we will, actually, we should probably talk about the guy that jumps over the fence at the end of the episode too, because it's still related to this, because he's obviously the guy from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But they get back and they find the note and they beat the crap out of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's two things here I noticed. One, Rick totally went into just, you guys are going to do what you're going to do and I can't save my buddy mode, because he knows he can't rock the boat.
Yep.
Which was sad, but also the reason that at the end of the episode he decided to, you know, change his attitude. And do you guys have any thoughts on that first?
No, I agree.
Okay. You're spot on that.
And then the second thing was, when the guys like looked over at Rick and they were like, he gets the message. It's like, I don't know.
Did you notice how after he was done, I wish they pulled back and show the shot of it, but he was literally just like kicking the dust off of his boots, which is like one of the most insulting things. So you not only just beat this guy into the ground,
yeah,
but then you literally like kick dust on him on top of it too. So it's like, we didn't just beat the crap out of you, but we literally own you. And I think that's all going to tie into what the whole second half of the season is with the whole rise up. And, you know, like we said, certain parts of this episode definitely have a little bit of a heavy hand in there. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those ones where it's like, I get that these guys are tough and they're bullies, but there's also a point where that even becomes unreasonable with how they're handling themselves.
Totally. And that's kind of what I was going to get at, which is that I think humanizing these characters makes it a little bit more believable.
Mm-hmm.
And them being like, he gets the message. It's like, exactly what's the message? That you're just going to beat the shit out of these people until they decide to eventually fight back and probably beat you to death without mercy, because like, that's what they'll do.
Right.
Put a gun in that guy's hand, put a bat in that guy's hand, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, treat this guy with any amount of respect and like, just do what Negan's telling you. Maybe you survive. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
See, I think it's the other way, because all of these guys that are saviors are guys who were the big tough guys. They were the bullies, and then they all bowed. They all dropped to a knee. So they're expecting that because these people are seeing the brutality that they're enforcing, that everybody is going to fall in line like they did.
Got it. Yeah, and I guess also it's like the whole, like, they've been made to be submissive, so they want to, you know, beat on who they can beat on.
Yeah.
In certain cases, a bully is easier to bully than somebody who isn't one.
Yeah.
Well, they're all going to die, so. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Well, in life, everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
There you go.
True. So we're going to jump over to Carol, where we get Carol is now in her, like, super sweet house.
Yeah,
with really like a nice working house. Fireplace,
A little book reading.
Well, yeah.
Very casual.
Lots of fruit. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yes, lots of vegetables and fruits.
Nice she's, like, days. Literally become female Eastman, is what it feels like. She's just like, I'm going to live in solitude. I don't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have fresh produce. Wouldn't be surprised if she gets a goat at some point. You know, she's just going to take care of business. She doesn't want to be bothered.
It took Daryl a second.
Yeah, I'm just like, a goat. Okay, sure, yeah.
So, like, Carol calls Morgan, because he's like, you called me over. Why? Did you guys pick it? Did I miss it?
So her calling him over was she saw him on the porch.
Yeah.
And then instead of him just walking away, she called him back.
That was him
being called over. It wasn't like she left a message to somebody in the kingdom to get him sent back.
Okay, I misinterpreted that.
She didn't pick up her iPhone.
The Wi-Fi is amazing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest advantage of the kingdom is their Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Do you think that there's any forms of, like, cellular or any kind of communication with, like, a running server somewhere? Anything?
Nope. In the I don't think so.
I think it's literally what you got is walkie-talkies because they're closed bandwidths.
Right.
But I think any mass communication is... Unless other countries are doing better, that's the only way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would have come across it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, so... Carol's there. Ezekiel's boy, Richard, comes to see them.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm glad you're here because people will die, a lot of them. You need to choose when to kill. We need to unite to go fight Negan. And Carol's like, I'm not interested in your problems. So I don't want
to. I found something a little interesting about that because he said he was coming to see Carol. And I'm guessing that's because he knows that Ezekiel is sweet on Carol.
Yeah, for sure.
And he said that.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, for Morgan, Ezekiel trusts you. But the fact that he's completely clueless as to how much of a badass she is, I still don't know if he would have gone to her before going to Morgan.
I can understand what you're saying,
I think he was thinking that Carol probably has Ezekiel's ear more so than Morgan does.
I would agree.
Yeah, because they're all, you know, buddying up, you know. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see Rambo Carol come back, though.
I know. We've lacked that in the
episodes. And I love the
duality
of it.
Yeah.
Now we see sweet Carol. Ugh, can't wait to see her badass again.
But she really does want to get involved.
She really wants to.
It's in there.
She wants to be left alone. So, but yeah, he tries to sell him on this idea. He's got this case of water.
Yep. The water bottles.
Yeah, which I guess he was just bringing her water from Ezekiel. That's the deal.
Think so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just a case of water? I was like, what is this? Is it vodka or something like
that? It seems like she's getting regular deliveries because I think the fruit and all that was
That's why she was like, she doesn't need anything. I think she's just continuously getting new stuff.
Really nice. Postmates stuff.
Yeah, it must really piss people off that, like, Ezekiel's like sending a truck. He's like, go take this fresh fruit and case of water to Carol. Right. She lives on the outskirts.
She doesn't want it.
I don't think people realize that he's doing that because the fact that Richard said, people don't even know, for the most part, about the deal with Negan.
Yeah.
Right. So they probably have no idea as to what the actual food store is like, or supplies or anything. They just know they have stuff in front of them, and they don't question it.
I thought it was interesting that that the deal was that they never set foot in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is very different than Alexandria or the hilltop.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like Ezekiel and the guys he was with in the woods knelt down instantly. Like, it sounded like they are, you know, it wasn't like the first encounter with the Alexandrians where, you know, somebody got a rocket launcher and blew up a bunch of people.
Right.
Like, there was no resistance. And even when we talk about Oceanside, there was resistance in Oceanside. So there is a special circumstance with Ezekiel that he was the true politician to make sure none of his people were at risk.
Right.
His mom.
Yeah. So Richard goes back into the truck and breaks a bottle,
yep,
and is bummed, and I guess he must just feel super, super trapped, because he's also the one,
yep,
that got in the fight, right?
With yeah. Dwight. With, or not Dwight. The other guy was with Dwight.
It was, yeah, like a henchman.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a henchman in that drop. So he obviously just can't stand the fact, mm-hmm, that they're as submissive as they are.
Yep.
So anyway, moving on to somebody who is also submissive, and Daryl, we last week figured that it was probably Dwight that had slid the keys under for Daryl, right, for him to leave?
Yep, but we, yeah, did also see some messages online that it was a woman's writing on there, too. So yeah, there's suspicion it was blanking
Cheryl,
on Cheryl.
Sherry.
Yeah, Sherry.
Sherry, right. So we didn't actually find out who yet.
Nope.
We still don't know. But yeah, Daryl, so he breaks out, and he like changes up, and he gets into somebody's room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Eats all their peanut butter.
Yep. Protein.
I've thought about this before, actually, with Walking Dead, like with like post-apocalyptic, right?
Yep.
So you're starving.
You already know where it's coming.
Great.
You're out there, and whatever you come across, you need to like eat a lot of because you're starving.
Right.
Yep.
So wouldn't eating, like, don't you think that if you ate like a thing of peanut butter, you would get so
thirsty?
Sick?
Oh.
I feel like if I ate like a half thing of peanut butter, just like ate it, I would like have, I would be so lethargic and like trying to escape, like leaning against the wall. No? Am I dead wrong here?
You wouldn't have survived that long.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I don't remember what they were feeding him underneath the
bread.
Dog food, remember?
Bread and dog food.
Food. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, if I've been eating dog food and like bread, peanut butter's gonna seem really good.
Even, even if it makes you throw up.
Both of you guys had this like look on your face.
That's because he started laughing. As soon as you like went off topic talking about peanut butter,
I just knew it was gonna
just
come
knew
down.
That you were just gonna go somewhere.
We're
over
gonna
there.
Go somewhere different with this peanut butter. I just.
Oh, anyway,
I was on your page. I didn't go to the gutter like they did.
It's a total split in the family.
It's a split. Yeah, we're split down the middle right here. Divide. This is a peanut butter divide right here.
That's how Lucille should go. You're right.
Much better.
But I was just, anyway, my thought was just like, you would eat whatever you come across. There have to be some foods you would come across. What if you came across a bunch of bacon? Like,
I'd be down.
Yeah, delicious until you ate like the 12th piece, and then you would get so sick. Because, like, certain foods, if you eat too much of it, you just get sick. Anyway, people are like, get back on topic. So he eats a bunch of peanut butter.
That's what we're laughing.
People named John.
Yeah.
Because I knew we were going to have a conversation about peanut butter for like...
Okay, guys, I'm trying to talk about the show.
Anyway, so in the room, he eats the peanut butter, and then he stares at the chessboard.
So
then he gets really pissed at the chessboard.
Yeah.
So this was a moment that I think we all had. We were around this a few times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He sees what you said was a rook.
Yep, the building was a rook.
Yeah, on the corner of a chessboard.
Yep.
But why did he feel so affected by that? What are we missing?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
And it wasn't a typical chessboard, so I don't know how many people would have really gotten that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was when it flipped and it was like, oh, that's an obvious checkerboard pattern. That was like, you know, confirmed. I think it was just the fact that, like, he just got put through all this BS with these people, and then he sees, like, there are jerks in this facility that are just sitting around playing chess, and it's like, F them.
Right.
I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah, and I was also just trying to figure out if the image on top of it, like what that really was and what it was referencing. Because it looked like at first I thought it was a building of some sort. Because it meant so much to me. I was trying to figure out exactly what he was thinking.
Yeah, because the angle of it too, because there was a tank coming in from the side, which I'm predicting was a knight, probably.
That's what something like that. But
I don't know. I suck at imagery, so.
So he manages to get a change of clothes, finds a steel pipe, gets Rick's gun, which is great that he gets Rick's
gun. Great coincidence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he says to the guy, Fat Joey, who sees him trying to steal a bike, and he's like, oh, I'm just trying to get by, man. And then Daryl beats him to death. He's like, it ain't about getting by. It's about getting it all. Yeah. That's what he said, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was surprised he killed him.
Yeah,
I was surprised. I thought he was going to knock him out, but for him, like, that anger came out. I was surprised.
Yes, especially with that character. Maybe if it was, like, a meaner guy, but he was so sweet.
Yeah, that was the nice guy.
I mean, like, if it,
yeah. Yeah.
You're so nice.
If I was in his shoes,
John said
I totally
care.
Because he was like, just go, I'm not going to tell anyone,
no.
You know?
Like, no, I mean, especially, I don't trust Fat Joey as a character because he is just trying to get by. So the second Daryl's gone, he would have squealed on it, no doubt.
Yeah.
Also, oh, for sure.
Also,
yeah.
Like, there's a long, long, long storied history of anybody who's saying the line, "I'm just doing my job," which is like, if you're the person who is being held down by somebody doing their job and being persecuted, it's not going to make you want to kill them any less, you know?
Right, yeah. I
think you come out of there, you're like, I've been locked in a cage eating dog food.
Yep.
Right.
And you're in on it, so you're dead.
It's just that small part of me that knows, like, there are people among the saviors that are still, like, kind of good, or not, maybe not good, but something that, like, Dwight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something about him and his wife, I'm like, there's something in you guys that still I want to root for. And for Fat Joe, that's how I felt. Like, there are people in the saviors that have to be just there out of fear. You know
right.
what I mean? They can't totally be like, oh, let's kill Glenn.
But
know,
he never took the actions to do the right thing. And
true.
I think that's
I
what Daryl resents. Like, that's resentment at that point.
True.
That wasn't revenge, that was resentment.
Yeah. Well, just to really quick about the piece, some people in the chat are saying that it looked like Hilltop, and then some people were saying that it symbolized Daryl feeling like he was a part of a game, like a chess mm. game.
Right. Like
which could be interesting.
I like yeah. that.
So, you know.
Yeah. It's good. All right, so he sees Jesus, and then he's like, let's get out of here, and that's pretty much that. The next time we see them is in the Captain Planet meeting up at the Hilltop. So,
you really like calling it that.
I just, didn't you feel like they were all like, we're all walking together, heart, wind,
yeah.
earth, super like dude, positive music, rise up.
I know the way we like sit as a group and watch the TVs, you don't see my face during that scene.
Yeah.
I was mad that entire scene.
Yeah.
The second the hugs started and stuff.
Right.
I think as soon as that was
too
over,
happy for you?
Dude, I think my reaction was somebody give me Rick's gun so I could blow my own brains out.
That's exactly what
yeah.
you said.
Well, because, yeah, like the silent narration was like, anything that we do together we can't fail at. It's like,
yeah.
all right, cool. So, anyway.
It was a little campy.
Yeah,
it was.
Wasn't. I wouldn't go as far as to say I wanted to kill myself. It wasn't that bad. But
at that point, I wanted to.
all right, let's talk a little bit about Michonne. So, again, this is another one of those, like, just like little threads of the story they picked us up on. So,
yep.
Michonne had taken prisoner this woman that she found who was a savior. Mm-hmm. And this was like a really interesting scene, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the car. They're rolling along. She's asking for information. She's not giving her anything. They get what looks like about a mile away from Negan's compound, way up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, there's still a choice for you. You can still go back.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of this car, burn it, roll it into a ditch, whatever. There's a silencer in the glove box. And she was just telling her, kill me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kill me, hide the car and save yourself because I'm miserable and this world's horrible.
I think that girl was just trying to get out. And
yeah.
she, I don't know if she was worried about, you know, if Michonne was going to squeal on her or something down the line. But it was just, she was trying to get out first and foremost above anything else. And, you know, she didn't want to keep running at that point.
Yeah.
Because she saw what happened when you do keep running. Because
mm-hmm.
the dude who got his face burned and the other guy who got shot, you know, like,
yeah.
they're just over it, essentially.
And I said that last week. I was like, why is she out by herself? It seems weird that she's out on her own.
Yeah.
And Michonne makes a point to ask her,
she was
why
running.
Are you out by herself? Yeah. So I was like, that's weird that she's out on her own. But yeah, I liked it. And again, that's another example of someone who's kind of maybe like Fat Joe or someone that's in there that's stuck there. They don't want to be there. She
right.
wants to escape. There's good in her, you know?
Daryl's pretty pissed.
I liked that moment with them.
Yeah. It was a really good scene. It was just mm-hmm. a very interesting scene. Like, it's one of the, we haven't seen a lot of turns like that where somebody's
so
like,
convoluted.
Yeah, I'm so down. Just kill me.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I like it too because it shows the flaw in Negan's team, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And
if that's foreshadowing for something that happened as the episode really united all the groups, mm-hmm. you know, is this like some type of flaw in Negan's team that we'll see down the
right.
line too that may cause some rough?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of those scenarios too where she wanted to end it, but she didn't want it to end at one of Negan's people's hands because
right.
it's going to be slow and torturous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was one of those characters who was there out of fear and mm-hmm. was too scared to do it herself.
Right.
So this was almost like suicide by cop in a way
yeah.
because she needed somebody else to pull the trigger for her.
And it's interesting because like our group there, the episode's called Heart Still Beating. So Aaron's like, you know, really talking about like, oh, well, we're still alive when a lot of these saviors are just, you know, considering quality of life over having a beating heart, you know, to
mm-hmm.
her, it was worth it just to go, you know, then have to stay in that position.
Yeah.
So
right.
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, did you guys find the line interesting? Michonne said, I'm going to find a way this ends for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the line she
yeah.
says, which is, I guess, before she has her moment, right? She has her, because I feel like when she went back to Alexandria and said to Rick, like, we can fight them,
mm-hmm.
she was like, we're going to work as a team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then it wasn't, I'm going to find a way this ends for my people.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
the way this ends for me is before she, like, in cold blood just kills this girl and mm-hmm. gets rid of the car, and it's like, there's a huge compound. I can't do this myself. I need a group. Mm-hmm. So in any case, that's pretty much the extent of the scene. Michonne goes back to see Rick, and the final scene with the two of them in the prison, right? And is it a prison?
That was the cell that they held the wolf in.
Yeah. And they're talking, and she's basically like, we can fight these people. You know, you told me if anything we do, you know, we have to fight for. We're the people that get things done. Mm-hmm. And then Rick is like, I know that now. You know, we can do it. So it took him 8 episodes to realize.
To realize that.
Right. Back.
Well, 7, to be fair, because the first one, people were getting their heads smashed in.
Right,
so I don't know if you really count that one.
So, and it also wasn't very much time. So let me ask you guys this, because we're going to get into predictions here in just a minute.
Yep.
But thinking about the 8 episodes we just watched and the way that it was all pieced out to get us from point A to point B, if the rest of the season is point C, could they have done this in a better way? Could we have gotten to the second half of the season earlier? Did we need all the 90 minutes? I mean, or did you think that this was the best way to possibly do it?
See, I think there were certain episodes that didn't need to be 90 minutes, mm-hmm. but I did like the cadence of the season.
Okay.
I think if you got from the Lucille moment at the start of the season to this without going and extending it through 8 episodes, it would have felt really rushed and would have felt really unearned. Because, again, in the time frame of the show, this is like 2 to 2.5 weeks.
Right, it's pretty quick.
So how does Rick go from being a broken person to being built up? Like, even 2 to 2.5 weeks is somewhat quick. But if we had that in actual real time, like in, you know, 3 weeks of episodes, it would have felt super-duper rushed. And I don't think I would have felt fulfilled foreseeing the comeback moment.
Yeah, I agree. What about you guys?
Yeah, well, me personally, like last week I said I didn't think it needed to be a 90 minutes episode. I know that a lot of people in the chat felt differently, or some, you know, whatever's kind of across the board. But tonight I actually felt like it did explain a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So it didn't bother me that it went through all the different directions, because I felt like it needed to get it a little wrap up before the season starts in
February. I actually felt like this could have been a 90 minute episode with only the Rick and Aaron and then the Alexandra pieces. Like, I actually would have been okay with the other two stories not being interwoven into this week's.
Because that's the thing. To speak to the people in the chat, because we've gotten a lot of tweets and a lot of comments about this, mm-hmm. When we say that we don't think it needs to be 90, it's not that we want less of the show.
Right.
It's more about, like, to tell this story most effectively, do we need it to be 90? Because 90 minutes is quite the commitment. That's watching basically a short feature film every single week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you know, that's not really something that TV has done a lot in the past.
It's
like, every other episode, you guys are going to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. It's a lot of content to take in, to have to process, to remember. It's a lot of the same characters with the same tonalities.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, like, the number of minutes, but also, like, what we're getting. Like, we felt like this episode kind of was justified with how long it was.
Totally.
So it's about what they cover in that 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was great pacing. Like, that was the thing. Is, like, there were amazing story beats that were happening in this. Mm-hmm. And I even think certain things, you could have let breathe a little longer, like, Spencer on the ground bleeding out could have actually been a little longer to me.
And getting up, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just done. He was just down. So. Mm-hmm.
And I get where you're coming from, but I do feel like had I not seen Carol and the other storylines, I would have been itching. I probably would have been like a little empty waiting for February to find out what's going on with them.
You know?
So it was nice knowing exactly where everyone is before I take a break for the holidays.
I would have put the stuff with Carol in last week's episode.
Yes.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so last thing, we saw this guy with the boot watching.
Person with a boot.
Yeah, it's true. Person with a boot. Person with a boot watching as they were.
That's why I said it, because I heard you say female.
The houseboat.
Yep.
And
you are so cautious around me now.
Funny. The houseboat.
And then he's like up in a tree with binoculars, and he jumps the Alexandrian wall, and that's where he ends up at the end of the episode. Do we think we know? It could just as easily be a girl.
Pronoun game.
Yeah. Anything. So, do we have any idea who that is? Do we have any idea? Let's get actually into predictions, because this is...
Yeah, let's do predictions.
Okay.
Sorry, we should have given better warning to the booth.
And now, you're after...
There's a spot on.
Dead on, yeah.
Just cover this.
Right?
With the bat. So, yeah, let's just start with that one. What we're going to do here, guys, what we do every week is we're going to give one or two thoughts, give our sign-off where you can find us if you want to share your thoughts about this episode, any other thoughts you have about the show, and then we'll take an extra 2 or 3 minutes to talk about our spoilery predictions that relate to the comic books at the end of it. So we'll just do our quick sign-off and a quick thought, and I'll start here today. John Carl, what do you think?
The John Carl on Twitter, Instagram, and Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. I think it is either Dwight or Sherry.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Keep it simple.
Anything else?
No, that's all I got for right now. All
right, cool. Susanna?
I don't know if I have any big predictions overall.
It's really hard to give a prediction right now because the trailer for the next part of the season is the Rise Up is going
right.
to
right.
happen.
Right.
But I can say I hope the person that's in the boots is someone that we know. Even though I can't think of a single person that it could be, I hope it's someone that's familiar.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I think that the boot person is a female. and I think that Negan's going to take Eugene because we thought that he took him, but I think he's going to use him and he sees the power of Eugene being able to make these bullets and these type of things. Yeah. He's going to try and really get him in his team, scare him to death, but like get him in a mind, kind of a mind process of thinking yep. how his team thinks.
And folks, where can they find Because he sees the value in him.
At @Susanna_Kim.
At Daryl Christen, DerrialChriston.
I think we should actually just spare the
yeah,
comic
maybe
spoiler.
Yeah, maybe we'll spare it.
Spoiler alert!
But, no spoilers.
I know.
Well, that was like a short spoiler.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I think my only prediction is that I do think the person in the boots is somebody that we do know. I don't know who, but I'm excited to find out who. And I think, honestly, my biggest prediction is I think we're going to start from episode 9 on is just going to be balls to the wall, tons of action, really exciting. I think the second half of the season is going to be amazing. So that's what I'm predicting, guys. We're going to actually skip the comic book spoilers. If you guys have any questions that you want to throw at us, just tweet at any of us, and we'll absolutely tweet back at you. It's probably safer anyway to not ruin it for these guys over here yet. We'll ruin it for episode 9.
We already ruined the first half of the season.
So. It's all good. It's all good.
Guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you in February. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.